Welcome to the October 10th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Stephen Henninger address the questions, who am I? Who are we?
I'm so excited to see some faces I have not seen in this space in a very long time. Welcome back home. Here's Stephen, our worship associate today.
Good morning. I'm Stephen Henninger, and I'm proud to be your worship associate this morning, along with Rev. Pam Phillips. For those of you online, you'll find a link in the chat to our order of service, so you may follow along with our worship today. And if you're here in person, you can follow along on our television screens. If you're with us for the first time, welcome. We're glad that you have found us. If you're on Zoom, you'll find a link to our virtual visitor's card in the chat. Fill it out if you'd like to stay in touch. If you're here in person, please see the lovely Isabel Burney. I don't know where she is. In the back. And she'll get you connected with a paper visitor's card if she hasn't already. If you're on Zoom, we invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into breakout rooms to meet in smaller groups for conversation. And here in the sanctuary, we'll be heading outside for socializing after the parents have time to pick up their kids. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you'd like shared aloud this morning, those of you on Zoom will find a link in the chat. And those in the sanctuary, you can find a card near the door, and you can fill it out and bring it up to the chancel during our opening hymn. If you do not grab a card and would like one, please raise your hand, and one of our greeters will get you one. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at our calendar on our website for times, locations, and Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thank you to all the volunteers who make all these activities possible.
I want to give a special shout out to Wayne New, who is our first new volunteer in the audiovisual room. I also want to remind us of an opportunity to support our congregation through our annual auction. So if we can look at some of the slides and make sure the folks at home can see them too. These are some of the things that have already been offered. I see some pottery that Clyde and Chrissy made and some artwork and some jewelry. I think there's another slide. I do not think the child is up for the auction. I think it's probably some baked goods in there. Also some more crafts and arts and jewelries. And one more slide. Again, I think the people are not up for auction. Maybe the hats. Cherry Pie looks good, Mad Magazine. If you could go back one slide before we, there we go. So this is your invitation. Think about what you want to offer to this community. It's an online auction, and ask Irene Peterson and she will help hook you up. The auction itself starts, I think, on October 31st. I also want to let you know what the children are doing. Today, they are making gnome terrariums with fairy lights that they're going to be able to take home. But in weeks past, they've been creating fairy gardens and gnome homes, and it is such a gorgeous day. I invite all of us to spend a little time walking through the grounds, looking at some of their handiwork. Right now, it's time to greet our neighbors. So, if we can pull the Zoom screen over to, so everyone in the sanctuary can see everyone at home. There we go. So, folks at home, we can see you. So, wave to the people in the sanctuary. There's some shy people who don't have their cameras on. And now, let's make it so that folks at home can see the people in the sanctuary. So we can spotlight this camera. There's Jared. There we go. Aren't they beautiful? Look at those smile. Well, they are smiling faces. I'm sure they're smiling. I love technology most of the time. All right, we have greeted one another. Welcome to church, everyone. And I'm going to stop the video here so that you all don't feel like you're on camera. Oh. So now, let's light our chalice.
Please join me in reading the words that are on your screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words this morning are by Ella Boyer, and is titled Right Here, Right Now. And Ella, we believe, was a high school student when she wrote these. As we create and share sacred space together, let us reflect upon what brings us here. We've all come here for different reasons, from different decisions, faced different challenges, and shared different love. And yet all of our differences have led us to this space, right here, right now. Some believe we are here for a greater purpose. Others hold fast to a claim of complete coincidence. Others still lie somewhere in between. There are so many differences and barriers between each. It would seem at times as though the odds were stacked against us becoming one whole, as we believe different things, live and experience different things, and value and hate different things. We are the children of God, and the children of the earth are fully grown adults here as a piece of ongoing cycles of the universe, the children of the stars. We all have different definitions and explanations to who or what and why we are. Perhaps all are right. Our revelation is not sealed. Despite all that is different, there is one thing that is certainly the same. Somehow, we are all right here, right now. We are growing and changing and discovering all here, all together, sharing the same sacred space we have shared for years and throughout generations, constantly evolving, constantly changing. Let us continue. Let us change and fight together. Let us adapt together. Let us grow together. And let us worship together.
It's our time for all ages. As Stephen and I prepared for today's worship service, we were looking around for a story that might encompass the same themes that we're talking about today. And we found this amazing little book read by a little girl named Rico. I sent an email to the number on the YouTube link, and her father wrote back, "She'll be delighted to know that we're listening." I have to warn you, the print on the book is kind of tiny, and she has a little voice, so we might want to make sure we boost up the sound. But we'll talk about it a little bit later. So if you just look at the pictures, I think you'll be delighted. So let's listen to "My Dad Used to Be So Cool."
"My Dad Used to Be So Cool" by Kate Negley. This is my dad. He seems pretty normal to me. You wouldn't believe it, but I'm sure he used to be in a rock band. I know it sounds crazy, but I have the proof. My dad used to be so cool. It's hard to imagine. He's always so serious. My dad having fun? I wish I could have seen it. I bet he had a blast. So what made him stop? Something must have happened. for him to give it all up. Okay, so maybe he's still a tiny bit cool. Yeah, nope, he's not. The end.
So in addition to that offering of a story, let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the New River Valley National Alliance on Mental Health, otherwise known as NAMI, chapter, to help support their virtual NAMI walk on October 9th to raise funds for local educational events, support groups, and advocacy related to mental health. Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary and would like to give a cash or a check, there's a basket by the entryway. Thank you all for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared play Sonatine 2, Movement de Menu. I did not take French ever. Maurice Revel, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others for those online. You may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. And now please join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Please join with me in a time of prayer and meditation with these words by Richard S. Gilbert. In the midst of the whirling day, in the hectic rush to be doing, in the frantic pace of life, pause here for a moment. Catch your breath. Relax your body. Loosen your grip on life. Consider that our lives are always unfinished business. Imagine that the picture of our being is never complete. Allow your life to be a work in progress. Do not hurry to mold the masterpiece. Do not rush to finish the picture. Do not be impatient to complete the drawing. From beckoning birth to dawning death, we are in process. And always there is more to be done. Do not let the incompleteness weigh on your spirit. Do not despair that imperfection marks your every day. Do not fear that we are still in the making. Let us instead be grateful that the world is still to be created. Let us give thanks that we can be more than we are. Let us celebrate the power of the incomplete, for life is always unfinished business. Amen, and blessed be. Our reading today comes from a blog titled, Who Am I Now? Navigating Identity Crisis by Giovanna Capoza. She asks, who was I going to be if I wasn't going to have that title and whatever legitimacy I thought my education, position, and knowledge gave me? Some of us have these questions thrust upon us when we're fired from a beloved job or when someone leaves us after a long relationship. But what if we examined this question before life hit us with it? What if, before we feel confined by our chosen identity or the one put upon us, we step back and take stock of who we are at our core, the true essence beyond what any worldly definitions throw our way. Sound lofty and maybe a little too spiritual for you? Then consider this. An identity crisis occurs when our sense of self is challenged. But if we're making up our sense of self based on external measures, then we're on dangerous territory. Developing a firm understanding and relationship with the self can help you navigate times of change, stress, and, dare I say, a crisis of worth and value, which I believe at its core is all an identity crisis really is. When you build up your sense of identity on the external and not on a healthy relationship to self, you come up disappointed and disillusioned every time. You cannot possibly be open, vulnerable, visible, and authentic with those you love, or even with the world, or those you seek to share your message with. Eventually, the most solid sense of self you can find is when you stop the external void filling and connect to yourself, that higher knowing intelligence that you might call your soul or your spirit within.
Who am I? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Or perhaps more accurately, as our reading frames it, who am I now? Maybe you first asked it when you graduated. I'm not a student anymore. Who am I now? Or when you started a new job, or when you left it, or when you entered a new relationship, or when it ended. Who am I now? So much of how we see ourselves has to do with what we do in the world, or how we are related to others. When we meet someone new, how do we introduce ourselves? Oh, I'm a student. I'm a teacher. I'm a solar business owner. I'm a counselor. I'm a minister. Or I'm so-and-so's child. I'm so-and-so's partner. I'm so-and-so's parent. These are some of the worldly, the externally defined identities that Kapaja is referring to when she says that if we're making up our sense of self based on external measures, then we're on dangerous territory. And part of what makes them dangerous is that they're not permanent. Through a natural progression or by some crisis or tragedy, we can lose those identities or they change. I think of folks who have navigated transitions in their sense of self as parents, when suddenly they find themselves responsible for another little human being and they pour all their love and attention into raising their child. But then they have to send them off to preschool or kindergarten and they're no longer with them 24/7. And then later still, they send them off as young adults to college or their own lives and no longer see them day to day. With each of these transitions comes the opportunity to ask, who am I now? I remember when my best friend's son, Sam, went to college. He was an only child. And she said, I'm not Sam's mom anymore. Who am I now? These are chosen changes and transitions, but they still require giving up something, some sacrifice. Like the character in our story, who used to be so cool, who traded in his rock star identity, complete with mohawk and motorcycle, to become a dad. So instead of being in front of adoring fans, he's doing housework. I love a man who does laundry and plays with his child. At some point, he made a decision. The child doesn't quite understand it, saying, what made him stop? Something must have happened for him to give it all up. We know what happened. We see the answer in the dad joyfully playing with his child. But we also see that whatever inspired his rock star self lives on as he drives down the road, rocking out to the radio in the car, much to his child's dismay. Raise your hand if you've embarrassed your child that way. He may have given up the rock star lifestyle and the rush of performing, but he hasn't given up that part of himself that wants to play. You may have noticed that the dad is all over the place in the park, running and jumping and hiding and climbing and sliding. That's a part of who he is that is not externally defined. It's at his core, his self with a capital S. And as our reading suggests, we step back and take stock of who we are at our core. The true essence beyond what any worldly definitions throw our way. In other words, she suggests that we cultivate a relationship with ourselves, but not just at times of transition or loss or crisis, because having a strong sense of self is what helps us get through those times. But what does it mean to cultivate a relationship with ourselves, particularly one that doesn't rely on external measures, like the rules and identities that we are defined by, that are defined by expectations, other people's and our own, about who and what we should be? Well, I think it begins with giving ourselves the time and space to really listen to ourselves, to listen to our lives, rather than being on automatic pilot. When faced with choices, asking ourselves what we really want or feel called to do, rather than just going along to get along. In big ways and in small. We often agree to do things because we don't want to disappoint people. Whether it's accepting a social invitation when what we really need is solitude and rest, or taking on another role or task when we're already too busy. Instead, we can pause and reflect. Is this right for me now? As many of you have heard me say, no is as sacred as yes. And cultivating a relationship with ourselves also requires reflecting on what is sacred to us. Our author suggests making a list of your values. What lights you and grounds you? Where do you feel a profound sense of rootedness and aliveness? Think about the times in your life when you have felt most grounded, most grateful, when you did you rather than what other people expected of you. You know it when you feel it, don't you? When whatever you're doing just feels right. People used to ask me about becoming a minister. I had a joke response was, I'll go to seminary when I win the lottery. I never played the lottery. But as the possibility of becoming a minister came closer and closer to my heart, whenever I talked about it with people, I started to cry. When you start to cry, you know, it's there, it's at your core. Think about those times when you felt most grounded, most grateful, most yourself. Sometimes it's scary though, isn't it? I like the way that Oteo Basi Basi, in an article titled Navigating Identity in Times of Transitions, distinguishes between the person you think you should be, or think you are supposed to be, which is composed of all those expectations, which, whether they align with our values, our desires, or our true selves or not, and the person you actually are. But Basi writes that it can be a terrifying thing being yourself. Many of us spend our lives running away from our true selves, unwilling to bring our essence to light, unabashedly, unashamedly, unwilling to live our truth, because truth can be painful and uncomfortable. Cultivating a relationship with ourselves means exploring all of who we are, not just the parts that are easy to like, not just the parts that meet expectations, our own or society's. With today being World Mental Health Day, and tomorrow being National Coming Out Day, I'm especially mindful of how dangerous and damaging some of those societal expectations have been and continue to be. Because of stigma, so many people who live with mental illness feel the need to hide or deny that part of themselves, to the point of not seeking treatment or asking for help. It's still really hard to come out as having a mental illness. I look forward to the day when it is celebrated the way we celebrate those who proudly come out as LGBTQ+. But I also remember how long it took my uncle to come out to our whole family, afraid that not everyone would accept him. And I wonder how much time he had to struggle with his own sense of self before he came out to himself, given the times and the culture in which he was born and raised. But once he did, his life was so much richer. And after he came out to our whole family, how much richer and more authentic all of our relationships were. And yet, I still talk to young people who cannot share who they are and whom they love with their families. I did a wedding this summer. Only one family was present. The other one didn't even know about it. Homophobia and transphobia continue to damage so many lives, which is why it's so important that while we are cultivating relationships with ourselves, listening to that still small voice within, we also make it safe for others to do the same. To accept no as sacred as yes. To listen to one another as we clarify for ourselves what we value and who we are. To break not the circle of enabling love, but make it wider still, till it includes, embraces all the living. In the week ahead, I invite you to listen to that still small voice. When someone asks you to do or be something, take a pause. Give yourself time to listen. No is as sacred as yes. But yes is sacred too. Extinguish this chalice, but not the light of hope, the fire of commitment, and the warmth of community. These we take with us in our hearts until we are together again.